Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Brian E. Roach and Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback, Trey Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast, brought to you in part by the Legends of Pittsburgh Cruise. Join a bunch of different Pittsburgh legends, 20 or more, plus thousands of fans who will sail to the Caribbean for the fifth year on March 4th, 2019. Guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, Rocky Blyer, Willie Parker, Andy Russell, Antoine Randall-El, Donnie Schell, Santonio Holmes, and more. Go to steelcityunderground.com/legendscruise. Use the code SCU19 if you book a cabin. And hopefully we will all look forward to having a great cruise down the road. In the meantime, as we still recover from what occurred last weekend, it's post-game time or pre-game time, which means it's time to welcome back Trey Johnson for Trey's Corner. Trey, welcome aboard the show again.
Hey, man, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure, and I'm sure it will be an interesting dip into your mind this week after what happened last week. You know, it's an interesting upcoming week, but before we get into that, let's tell us what's going on with you. How are things going? What has or has not changed over the last week?
Everything is going. I'm feeling a lot better. My shoulder, I probably got another month technically in rehab, but I kind of feel normal. The doctors kind of told me, though, after a few months, you know, your body will feel normal. But, you know, it's actually not ready. You know, I notice sometimes in my everyday life that I'm not ready, you know, just like strengthening wise, you know, everything. I have my range of motion back and, you know, everything like that is solid, but it's just not as strong as it was before. So, you know, right now I'm just focusing on strength, you know, building that back up and then getting it back to where it was and just kind of getting back into football specific drills. You know, I'm starting to get back into my back pedal a little bit more, you know, being able to come out of our breaks and different things like that. So, you know, it's progressing quickly, but you know, we're not there yet, but we're almost there.
Well, that's all good news. And you think everything is still on track for next year?
Oh yeah, definitely. I will definitely be back by next year. And last week, I think it was when Joe actually asked me about whether or not, you know, if I were able to come back this season, I actually talked to some people and I figured out that I won't be able to, even if I were able to, even if I were cleared by the end of the season, the way that I was put on injured reserve, I actually can't come back this year. So, you know, even if I do come back and I feel better, I'm definitely for sure going to be back next year. I know that.
Excellent. All right. As much as most of Steelers Nation, myself included, and probably everybody doesn't really want to think about last week's game, let's take a quick delve into it, especially because one of our loyal listeners went ahead and in the comments provided a question for you. And I think, you know, we'll see how you want to respond to this. It has to do with less than, let's say below the line officiating in the game. And so the question is, what goes on in a defender's mind when horribly missed calls such as this happens? And I believe that what he's referring to is the offsides or the false start penalty that was not called that led to a San Diego touchdown and leads to a touchdown. What are you thinking and how do you recover from that?
That's kind of a two-part question, a two-part answer, I guess. For me, the first part is, you know, when it initially happens, you know, as a competitor and as an athlete who's out there on the field, you know, you immediately get angry. You immediately just want to kind of just snap on the ref and you're just like, hey, yo, like you have one job, you know, your job is to officiate the game. And especially when it's something so blatant as that was, you know, you're just kind of like, yo, like, how do you miss that? And then on top of that, you know, it gives up a touchdown. You just feel gypped, you know, almost bamboozled. Like they really just, you feel like it's the ref's fault, but you know, like I always say, you know, you kind of have to be like a spaceship. You know, you can't really have a rearview mirror. You kind of eventually have to get over it. So for me, I feel like once you get to the sideline, you know, after the field goal or the extra point or whatever it is, you know, once you get back to the sideline, you have to, you know, resettle, refocus, and just kind of forget about it, which is, you know, sometimes hard to do, especially in that case, because I'm pretty sure that tied the game up. So, you know, that put us in a position where you're just like, dang, like, you know, now it's a tie ball game. It can really go either way at this moment. So, you know, you just really have to, you know, resettle yourself. You know, sometimes your teammates might come up to you, or, you know, whoever that vocal leader is can come up and just be like, down, you know, let's lock in, you know, and just kind of get back into it and just try and forget about it. But, you know, kind of remember it on the back of your mind so that you know that you don't leave the game up to the refs, you know, because if you leave it up to the refs, 99% of the time, they're going to let you down.
I'll buy into that. You know, the thing that I wonder about, you know, is especially in a game like that, where with the false start calls, there was a wonderful human being who decided to go through the game film and pull and create a montage of every missed false start call that was blatant in that game, and there were like seven of them. And I know after the game, when you know Steelers.com does its around the locker room talking to guys like TJ, who have to sit there and look at it play after play after play, he looked much more dejected with that game and frustrated than just a loss would account for. So I mean, how does it impact you if you continue? I mean, once you can kind of walk over, right? You know, okay, it stinks. Let me shake my shoulders, shrug my shoulders, and it's gone. But what happens if it continues to happen repeatedly throughout the game?
You know, when it's continuous, you know, you really, there's not much you can do about it. You know, especially from an athlete standpoint, all you can do is just, you know, keep trying to forget about it. And then, you know, sometimes people just try and do it on their own. You know, if you see that person, you know, that person's jumping or whatever, you know, you try and get a jump on them, because obviously, you know, if the refs aren't calling it, you have to assume that the refs aren't going to call it going both ways, you know. So you kind of just have to play the game within the game, I guess you could say, and just kind of, you know, keep trying to make plays and just keep trying to finagle your way around the refs, because, you know, like I said, the refs, they're not on your team. You know, most of the times they're on the opposing team.
Yeah, and well, it's interesting you say it that way, because after the game, I said in the post game when I was talking to Joe, I said the Steelers didn't play just the Chargers. They played the Chargers and the refs. Mm-hmm. And the Chargers scored 13 points and the refs scored the rest. and, you know, as a player, you know, when you're on the field and it feels like the calls are considerably one-sided, do you really end up feeling like, you know what, we're playing two teams out here?
Oh, absolutely. You do feel like that. And you know, kind of like you just said, you know, how you said that TJ looked like he was kind of dejected and, you know, down. It definitely does play on your confidence and play on your heart, you know, because you're just kind of out there. You're like, you know, not only are we playing this team, but, you know, we're not getting any calls. They're missing calls on us. You know, you're getting held and you're not getting the flag, or, you know, different things like that. You're getting clipped in the back and, you know, there's no flag. So it's just a frustrating thing to kind of go through. You're just kind of mad about everything, you know. You realize that, you know, we're not just playing one team, we're playing another team. But you have to, in that situation, you know, somebody has to step up and just kind of take that leadership role and just be like, yo, like, yeah, the refs are making some awful calls. And, you know, everybody on your team is going to agree with you because they see the calls, they see the missed calls that the refs are missing. So you just kind of have to take that leadership role and be like, okay, they're making these bad calls. We have to dominate them so much in order to the fact that it doesn't matter that the refs are on their team, that, you know, we're just winning by so much that they can't come back and that, you know, that they can't do anything about it. So that's just kind of the mentality that you have to have, you know, take that whole entire it's us against the world mentality and just apply that into your game and into the way that you're playing out there on the field.
Gotcha. And, you know, a lot of times I think fans would love to hear players at the end of the game, you know, in post-game interviews, really just come out and say exactly how we feel, which is, wow, that was awful. But, you know, the league is very protective, of course, of criticizing the refs from active players and coaches and whatnot. You know, how do they, you know, I know that they do, especially for rookies, they do an orientation kind, a lot of orientation kind of stuff. But, I mean, how hard do they project the fact that you really can't criticize the refs publicly?
They don't touch on it too much. You know, it was a part of like one session, but it's not something that they touch on too much. It's just kind of a commonality, I guess you could say. You know, a lot of people just realize that you don't ever want to be on the bad sides of the refs.
Well, that's true.
If you go out there and you say something bad about the ref, obviously the refs are going to hear it. And the next game, you know, it's not going to make it better. It's going to make it worse. You know, the refs are going to go out there and they're going to, you're not going to get any calls, you know. So you just kind of have to, you know, play the game within the game. So you just kind of try and, you know, evaluate it, you know, and just kind of forget about it. And it's funny that, you know, we're talking about these refs. And I know that I'm pretty sure the one of the players on the Bills, they had like a almost an altercation in the tunnel after the game with one of the refs just because he was making some awful calls or whatever. So,
yep.
You know, the intensity between ref and player, you know, it's kind of always there. But, you know, me personally, I try and go up to every ref, you know, before the game, just kind of introduce myself, say what's up or whatever, and just kind of get them laughing and just make it seem like, you know, I'm this great player or a great person, you know, just to see if I can get some calls going my way or our way, really, whatever it is. And, you know, in the game, obviously, you know, heat of the moment, you know, some things are said that, you know, I can't really say right now, but, you know, you just kind of got to try and keep moving on, you know, keep pushing and just kind of take the chips as they fall and just make it do what it do.
Absolutely. As they say, you know, you get more with kindness than with, you know, anything else. So
yeah.
I get how hard it might be. I mean, I can get away with it because, you know, I'm becoming notorious for the hashtag the refs stink, and where people on Twitter now know the minute a bad call comes out, they start looking for me to say it. And I don't have to, because it seems like it's not just against the Steelers. I mean, it's the level of officiating, in my view, has gone down over the past few years. But I don't know what to attribute that to, other than maybe a lot of them are like me and they can't see anymore because they're old. But
that might be the problem.
I don't know. So I guess we'll tuck that one away now, and we'll start to try and look ahead to next week. And, you know, unfortunately for the Steelers, these next four games, you know, you want to think there's a gimme coming up, which is this week against the Raiders, because they're, what, 2-2 and something.
2-10, I think it is. Two and not good.
Yeah, 2-not-good. But at the same time, you know, it's in Oakland, and this is – Ben's never won there. The Steelers are notoriously bad in when they go there. Things happen that seem unexplainable. So it's no Steelers fan is comfortable. Let's just put it that way with the game this week,
yeah,
because of where it is. You know, it's a place they just don't always play well. But that being said, you know, we go out to Oakland with Chucky Grudog out there, who has never won a game against the Steelers. He's 0-3 lifetime against the Steelers. So there, if we're looking for something positive, that's a positive. Offensively, we're averaging about 413 yards. They're averaging about 346 yards per game. It's Derek Carr, Doug Martin, Jalen Richards, and Jared Cook. Their tight end has been coming on a lot as well. Mm-hmm. Their defense gives up almost 400 yards, 396.6. We're doing 328. The sack leader is a rookie, Maurice Hurst, who's only got four. They got a bunch of people with multiple interceptions. That's ahead of us because nobody has more than one. You know, it looks like a game that is very favorable to the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think I said this to you when we talked about the Jaguars. I said, I want to be confident in this game, but I'm not. What do you see when you look at what's coming up this weekend?
With the Raiders, they're nothing, you know, extravagant. I think that, you know, they have a lot of good players. It's just their chemistry really hasn't clicked and they really haven't come together. You know, they got a new head coach and Coach Gruden, you know, this is his first year with them, you know, so it's kind of different when you have a new head guy in charge. You know, it takes a while for that chemistry to build up and everybody to get back on track. But, you know, obviously the way that you can see that they have the potential of being successful, you know, from the past year, you know, how they went to the playoffs and, you know, the year that they had. So you kind of have to, take that with a grain of salt and just realize that, you know, they're still NFL players. It's not like they're all scrubs. You know, they definitely have the chance of making big plays, you know, when the opportunity comes. They just haven't made them. And, you know, our job this week is to make sure that we continue to make sure that they don't make them, you know, and make sure that those opportunities don't come often, you know, make sure that, you know, everybody knows their job, you know, and everybody's doing their role. And I feel like if we go out there and we just play solid football, you know, we'll be all right. We really don't have too much to worry about.
Yeah. I mean, we hope that's true. I mean, I used to write post-game or pre-game articles for the site, and I tended to focus a lot on history and trends. And, you know, obviously, as we said, the trend here is they haven't won in Oakland since 2002. Now, admittedly, they don't play there that often, but that's, you're talking about 1, 2, 3. They're 1-3 over their last four games or so there, it looks like. Actually, I was wrong. They haven't won in Oakland since 1995.
Oh, man, that's a big difference right there.
Yeah, it's been a while. But, I mean, again, they've only played four games in Oakland since then. And that is, you know, the Raiders lead the overall series 15-13. This is a – back in the 70s, this was a nasty kind of a rivalry, but certainly isn't so much now. And it feels like the Steelers should have sort of had their way with this team. And a lot of times they don't. And I know we've talked about this before, about potentially playing down to an opponent. Is that a myth? Or is that just, you know, is that just in the fan's head, or does it get in a player's head where they're like, yeah, we got this. And for some reason you end up not taking the opponent as seriously as maybe you should?
It can at times. I don't think that's going to be a problem this week, just because, you know, of the fact that the game that we had last week, you know, was such a close game, and the way that they came back and kind of clawed their way back to the victory, I feel like it was kind of a wake up call and kind of put us in a position to where we realize that, you know, it's not as easy as it is. And even going back 2 weeks with the Broncos game, you know, that was a team that I felt like we should have went out there and kind of beat, you know, not with ease, but it definitely shouldn't have lost that game. And, you know, especially having two of those, you know, back to back, you kind of realize that, okay, we gotta tighten up. We aren't what we think we are. You know, we aren't at the level that we think we're playing at. So, you know, we can't play down to our opponent's level, and we have to, you know, elevate ourselves and kind of find that level that we need to be at in order to, you know, make another Super Bowl run.
All right. And on the Raiders, as we said, you know, you got Derek Carr, you've got Doug Martin, Jalen Richard is, I think, a running back there as well. As I said, Jared Cook, Jordy Nelson is playing there. They got a rookie wide receiver, Marcel Aitman. I'm not sure. I'm terrible at pronouncing names. But, you know, what do you see from the standpoint of when the Steelers are going to be on defense? Who do they need to be worried about on the Raiders side of the ball offensively?
I feel like, you know, Jared Cook and Jordy Nelson are their two biggest threats. You know, Jordy Nelson this year hasn't really been having the year he's been expecting, I feel like. But, you know, he's still, you know, one of the premier wide receivers in the NFL, you know, so you still have to, of course, have to take into account what he can do. And then, of course, you know, Jared Cook, you know, like I always say, the tight end is a very hard position to guard. You know, you got somebody that's as big as an offensive lineman, but moves like he's a receiver, you know, so, you know, just kind of that trait of somebody being able to do that it makes it difficult to guard them and create a matchup for him. So, you know, that's somebody we definitely have to look out for. And of course, Derek Carr, you know, him being, you know, an all-pro quarterback, he definitely knows how to pick apart a defense and kind of put the ball in the right position. So I feel like Jared Cook and that connection with Derek Carr is something that we really have to worry about, you know, and just kind of make sure that we're on top of him. You know, we know where he is anytime he's on the field, and, you know, kind of take into account, because, you know, he's kind of turned into the favorite target for Derek Carr. So, you know, anytime you know that somebody has a favorite target, you got to make sure that we're targeting them on defense also, you know, because if the ball is going there, we need to be there.
Gotcha. And when you look at, you know, last, to go back to last week real briefly, you know, the Steelers, gave up a lot of yards to Keenan Allen. There was a lot of complaining about who was covering Keenan Allen. Now, is that in the large part because the Steelers were a little bit light in the secondary with Morgan Burnett being out, Cam Sutton was out, or is it just the fact that you've got another Hall of Fame quarterback in Phillip Rivers who is simply going to find the bad matchups? And at times you are in bad matchups. There's, you know, you can't get around it. There are certain schemes that are going to lead to matchup problems, or is it kind of a combination of both?
I think it's a little bit of a combination of both, more so the Hall of Fame quarterback part of it. You know, Coach Tomlin actually had a really funny quote that he said after the game. He was saying that, you know, we played a lot of smoke and mirrors against them, and, you know, sometimes you just run out of smoke.
Yeah.
And, you know, Phillip Rivers just kind of started dissecting what we were doing. And, you know, from what I could see, we weren't really running as much man as we usually were. You know, we were in a lot of zone, and Keenan Allen was just kind of finding those holes and finding the empty pockets of the zone, and Phillip Rivers was finding them. So that's really – I feel like that was the problem with that game. So you just kind of got to realize that Keenan Allen is an outside receiver, you know, and Jared Cook is more so of a tight end. So – that the idea of man to man versus zone is not the same, because, you know, Keenan Allen, he's out there on the island. So if we are in man, you know, he's out there 1-on-1. But, you know, when it comes to a tight end like Jared Cook, if we are in man, he's not really on an island by himself. You know, the linebacker probably is going to be the one covering him, but he has a safety right over him, you know, because he's, you know, lined up in the middle of the field. So the possibility of having a double team, or, you know, him looking like he's covered, even if he really isn't covered, you know, is higher just because of the placement and the place of where he starts at on the field.
Yeah, and, you know, the Raiders offensively, if we switch and we look at the defense in the Steelers offense, I have a hard time finding any reason to think that the Raiders can stop the Steelers at all. They've given up enormous amounts of points throughout the season. The roster, you know, with the trade to send Khalil Mack to Chicago, and several other moves that I find somewhat suspect that Gruden has made, he's really, you know, emptied the cupboard, so to speak, for the Raiders, and is, you know, setting themselves up for trying to rebuild heavily. But, you know, looking at who they've got on defense, what they're doing, What matchups can the Steelers take advantage of, or is there anything they really have to be worried about? Are their corners, you know, overly good? Is safeties, linebackers? Is there anything that scares you in the Raiders' defense?
Not too much. You know, I don't want to sound too confident and too like the idea that, you know, they're not good, but, you know, they definitely are still good. But I don't see, you know, from our offensive standpoint, we have so many threats and so many, you know, great athletes on our offense that I don't really see that a matchup on their defensive side of the ball can really stop us. You know, I kind of agree with what you're saying. You know, they do have a great safety in Reggie Nelson. You know, he's a veteran and he's back there and he's really intelligent. But, you know, he's so far from the line of scrimmage that, you know, by the time he's able to make the play, we're already 10, 15 yards down the field. So, you know, we're still taking big chunks off the field and, you know, eventually going to find the end zone. So that's really the biggest threat, I feel like, on their defense is him. And, you know, he's just so far from the line of scrimmage, we don't have to worry about him as much, you know. So I don't see too many people on their defense that we have to worry about. You know, I feel like our offense is going to kind of be able to go out there and have their way, you know, be able to move the ball and just kind of do what we do. Definitely going to control the line of scrimmage, you know, like you mentioned with the trade of Khalil Mack. I feel like that definitely hurt the Raiders' defense, you know, and I feel like it kind of hurt their locker room, you know. That I feel like a lot of players in their locker room were more so like, you know, why is he doing this? Why is he getting rid of this great athlete, you know? And if you can't apply pressure to the quarterback, it's very hard for you to stop an offense. And they haven't really had the ability to apply pressure to any quarterback this year, so I don't see them doing that against us, especially with our offensive line and the way that they're playing. So I have a lot of confidence in our offense this week.
Now, speaking of offense, and we got to address the fact that James Conner is not going to play in this game. So it's going to be more of a running back by committee with Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley. And I guess maybe Trey Edmonds is possibly could get in the game being activated to the 53 off the practice squad. But we're a little light at running back at this point. And this is a team that tends to give up, is not a strong rush defense. And you know, do you see the Steelers, is it a function of our offensive line is so good that these guys are going to be able to run unless they trip over their own feet?
I can see that. I feel like these past weeks we've kind of gotten away from the run, and we haven't been running it as much as we usually have. And I feel like this week is the week that we need to kind of get back into that and just kind of get back into that mentality of pounding the ball, you know, down the field. And I feel like, you know, yeah, James Conner is hurt, and obviously, you know, he's a great running back. I'm not taking anything away from him at all, but, you know, those backups are still good. You know, Jay Sam, him being a rookie, doesn't mean that he's not good. You know, I've seen him, you know, in training camp and during rookie mini camps, OTAs, and even in this season, you know, he scored last week. You know, he's definitely an athlete, and he knows how to play football and find the right hole and find the right gap. You know, Stephen Ridley is a veteran, and he knows how to play too. And, you know, even Trey Edmonds, you know, he's nice with it too. So definitely the running back by committee is going to work out. And I feel like, you know, kind of how you mentioned with our offensive line, man, I have extreme confidence in them, man. Like I say it pretty much every week, man, I love the O-line and the way that they move together and the way that the chemistry that they have. You know, I don't see anybody on the Raiders defensive line, you know, kind of penetrating that bubble that they have, I guess you could say. And I feel like they're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage. And, you know, even if it is, you know, a bad call, I feel like we're still going to be able to get, you know, 2-3 yards off of it. You know, if you're ripping off 2-3 yard runs, you know, consistently, you know, that's a first down in four plays, you know. So you just got to keep it moving and keep it going.
Yep. I just keep going back to the fact that the Browns scored 42 points against them. They've given up 40 plus points three times this year. And it's not, I mean, yes, one of them was the Chiefs, but another one was the Browns. And, you know, I can't see a way in my head that the Steelers don't take control of this game early, and just have their way with the Raiders defense. You know, the offense has the potential to score. You know, if we can't get pressure, if we have issues matching up in the secondary, or they, you know, or Derek Carr finds the holes in zones, if that's what we're playing, they can score some points, but. I feel like this is certainly an advantageous position for the Steelers to be in. There's a reason these guys have only won two games. I'm going to let you make bold predictions first. I have a couple, but what do you think could happen in this game, and give us what you think the final score will be as far as things that might shock folks?
A shocking factor? I don't know if I have like a shocking factor. I feel like there's not going to be very much shock in this game. I think the biggest shock in this game would be for us to go out there and kind of lay an egg and you know, not play up to the ability that we have. You know, I feel like it's expected for us to kind of go out there and catch a dub and, you know, kind of go out there and dominate. And I feel like that's what we will do and what we're going to do. So, you know, if I were to give a final score, I feel like final score would probably be something around like 34 to like 14, maybe. You know, I got to kind of have to give them some type of points, you know, out of respect and just kind of the fact that Derek Carr, you know, he's an all-pro quarterback, and they do have some threats on their offense. And, you know, you never know what field position and how the game might play out. So I feel like that's kind of the way the game is going to go. I feel like offensively, we're definitely going to go out there and dominate. I don't really see nobody on their defense that's, you know, a shutdown player or somebody that's just going to wreak havoc the whole game. And, you know, defensively, they don't have to. They still do have those threats and options in order to silence those threats and, you know, kind of have our way with them on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I look at this. Here's my predictions. I think we're going to drop 40 on the Raiders, and that it will be much like it was in the Panthers game, where we will all have a relaxing afternoon.
Yeah,
that's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to get to Carr early and often. I feel like, you know, last week's game, to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, when you play a game like that where you feel like it was taken out of your hands, You know, that's there's a little extra juice in your craw, so to speak, the next time around, because you want to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And yeah. And I look at this game and I think from a defensive standpoint, guys like Stephon Tuitt, Javon Hargrave, who's been balling out. I mean, he's been playing out of his mind lately. And Cam Hayward, as well as the line. I think that Derek Carr is going to be running for his life most of this game. And it wouldn't surprise me if this is another six-sack game for them. And we'll have to wait and see. But I just feel like it's going to be more relaxing than we're used to, and that all of our stress and anxiety about the fact that it's in Oakland and we don't play well there is going to fade away. And I need lots of wood to knock on to make that certain, because obviously you could tell I only have a limited amount of confidence in what I'm saying. My own superstitions are getting back in my head, and I go, wait, don't say these things. But that's what that's the way this feels to me. The Steelers drop 40-plus points. They win by over 20. I think they sack Carr several times. Ben does not throw a pick. that's another big thing I think will not happen this time around. And maybe we actually come out ahead in the turnover battle. The defense gets a couple turnovers in this game, and we actually, for once, win the turnover battle and end up victorious. So let's keep our fingers crossed that it goes that way. Is there anything else you want to leave folks with this week? Again, as always, we appreciate it. And anybody listening, either you can fan mail us questions for Trey, put them in the comments, and as happened today, we'll get him to answer them, provided it's, not something ridiculous.
Yeah, man, I really don't have too much to say. I'm just excited for this week. Hopefully we come out with a dub, and kind of get back on the right track, and keep clawing our way back into, the playoff contention and another Super Bowl.
Yeah. I did have one other question I want to ask you, and I almost forgot. Are they in a position now? Are the Steelers in a position now where this actually is a must-win game, considering the Raiders are only a half game behind, or not the Raiders, the Ravens are only a half game behind them in the division? It's only four games left. Two of those are against the Patriots and the Saints. Is this a game they absolutely have to win?
I wouldn't say. Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a game that we have to win, especially with the upcoming games. Us playing the Patriots and the Steelers. I feel like us kind of laying the egg with a kind of gimme game. The gimme games, you kind of have to take them. You can't lose a gimme game. So, it's definitely a must win. You kind of have to go out there and catch a dub. And even if we do lose, it's not like we're completely out of the playoffs. Where all hope is lost or anything like that. I just feel like it just makes the road, so much more difficult that we don't want to be in that position, So in order to keep ourselves out of that position, we have to go out there and win this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a game they just absolutely have to put in their back pocket and take it. Again, Trey, thanks very much. Appreciate the time. We look forward to continuing to hear about your journey and your insights into things. And for everybody out there listening, as you said, get your questions in. Remember to go check out the Legends of Pittsburgh Cruise, where you can hang out with a bunch of different Pittsburgh legends. And I think that'll wrap it up for this show. For right now, his name is Trey. My name is Brian. And as I like to say, it's chaos out there, so be kind.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.